The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Really, this morning and tonight and next Sunday morning and night is going to be like a mini camp meeting. And the Lord, I'm really continuing along the lines of the supernatural, and I'm starting this morning a series, really, that I brought forth in one message, but it's called Tongues, the Gateway to the Supernatural. God doesn't give you tongues just to use in a service. Can you say amen? It's a heavenly language. Let's pray. Father, let every ear be anointed to hear. Let every heart be receptive to receive all that heaven has. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Before I get started here, I'm going through a book by Donald G., one of the great Pentecostal men of the last 100 years. Extra fact, it was Donald G. that Lester Sumrall hooked up with in New Zealand. He was an older man. Lester was young at the time and followed him around. He was a Bible teacher. This book is called Pentecostal Experience, The Writings of Donald G. It's put out by the Assemblies of Oh My God Publishing House out of Springfield, Missouri. I wish they'd actually read the book. Amen. It would be great if people actually read the book that they published, especially when you call yourself Pentecostal. And there's a section in here that I'd never actually heard anybody ever talk about, but I asked myself the question many times. And this is not the message, but I thought I'd just start off and I'll talk a little bit more about this tonight. Tonight we're going to deal with that hurricane even more, but tonight's going to be a great night. And I'll be running the prayer meeting on Friday night. We're going to pray through the night. Amen. This major stuff, we're going to move here for September. But this is under the subject, disappointing baptisms, which I've never, ever heard anybody talk about disappointing baptism. And I think about sometimes I want to walk up to somebody and say, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? And they say yes. I say, well, I want to apologize that you had a very disappointing baptism. I'm so sorry that your baptism is that disappointing. And you say, what do you mean? So hear what he says. He said, I can speak about this delicate subject with courage because there is a glorious baptism in the Holy Spirit that never disappoints us. It begins a continual unfolding, a richer and greater experience of God's power and grace. But he said, after a fairly long experience around the world, I've come to a place where I feel I should consider this subject, which I've been asking myself, and I've been doing this now 39 and a half years, so I'm also coming to this place where I have to put people under this category of a disappointing baptism. There are people who apparently have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but for some reason have not seen the expected results. Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and yet we have met supposedly spirit-filled people who have not had power. Think about that. When believers receive this experience, there ought to be power in their lives. Yet we meet God's children in whom this is not the case. Let us find the difficulty. I want to group what I call disappointing baptisms under three headings. Which I would have just said disappointing baptism, but he's got it under three. Number one, those who experienced little difference in their lives after Pentecost baptism. And then number two, those who receive some of the gifts of the Spirit but do not demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. And then number three, those who have the gifts and the fruit but no power. So he goes on to say, which I'll talk a little bit about this tonight. So I don't want anybody to be in the category that comes from the river. And then people will say, you know, they're river people, but they had a disappointing baptism. I want every person at the river to not have a disappointing water baptism. I mean, Holy Ghost baptism. Amen. Praise God. Well, everybody's excited about that, you can see. Don't automatically think I'm talking about you. I mean, if you're not winning souls and you say you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, there's something disappointing about that. Because the first thing that happens when you get baptized, you want to win souls. Yes. Amen. Amen. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't skip out on church. Yeah. And there's no person that's fully baptized in the Holy Ghost that stays home at the First Church of St. Mattress with Apostle Pillow and Prophet Eiderdown. Impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad you came this morning. God's got something great for you. All right, go with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want you to see something here. It's very apparent that the sound from heaven came, then the wind from heaven blew, and then the fire from heaven fell, and then they were filled. Today, a lot of people are filled, but there's no sound, there's no wind, and there's no fire. Remember, we're not talking about meeting somebody that's just, in the world, and you shake hands, and they sign an autograph for you. We're talking about the Creator of heaven and earth. It's impossible for any person here in this place, under the sound of my voice, to meet God in his fullness and just be the same. Your whole life, go look at Jacob where he wrestled with an angel. Somebody said, yeah, but he limped for the rest of his life, but he still wrestled with an angel and he got blessed. Amen. You know what I mean? Who cares if you limp for the rest of your life? At least he got into the blessing of heaven. Because he really was a deceiver. He needed to wrestle. He needed more than a limp. He needed a smack up the side of the head, you know. So when it comes to the Spirit-filled life and the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit, because here's the thing, in Acts 1 verse 8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He actually never said, you shall receive tongues. And I'm not negating tongues. I'm just trying to tell you, people today get tongues, but they have no power. So something's wrong there, because in Acts 2, it says, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house of the sitting, where they're sitting, and they appeared on them cloven tongues like as fire, and they were all filled and began to speak. My father and my mother, when the day they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, now remember, I have two older brothers. My older brother is 14 years older than me because he's with the Lord now, and my second oldest brother is 12 years older than I. He just turned 70 years of age, and I took him out to celebrate his birthday. But he was there when my dad and mom were baptized in the Holy Spirit. My dad was an engineer. My mom ran several businesses. They were sitting in the living room, and they were praying, wanting God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And my father tells a story, which is amazing. I'm going to get it from the archives because I know we got it on video somewhere, and I'm going to get to play it. But my dad said that he was sitting on the couch in the living room, and he looked up, and the roof disappeared. And he said he could see the stars. And he said what started like a little star got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it became like the sun, and it come through into the house and hit him, boom, one time. Then it happened again, boom, a second time, and then it happened again, boom, a third time, and he began to speak in other tongues. And I said, Dad, that must have been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because three times it hit him. And then my brother counted, my mother spoke in 13 different languages, boom, 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 boom. Not because my brother doesn't know 13 languages, but you could hear the distinct difference of the tongue. There was 13 different ones that she spoke. He counted it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as she went through 13 different languages. So one thing I knew about my father and mother, they didn't have a disappointing baptism. which I'm so happy that my mother and father didn't have a disappointing baptism. I'm so happy that they were led by the Holy Ghost. I'm so happy that when they prayed, things happened. Even when we were sitting at the dinner table to eat, even though my brother and I were hungry, and as small kids, we would slip a roast potato off the table because my dad would start to pray over the food, you know. But I could see the anointing hit him, and when I'm watching his face, I'm going, we're not going to eat for a while, because I could see the Holy Ghost coming on my father. I mean, he's starting to pray over the food, but the Holy Ghost come on him, he started prophesying, but I'm hungry, you know, so sneak a potato and bow my head and just, you know, because that's what you do when you're a kid. Amen. Which one of you wouldn't sneak a roast potato off the table? Because dad's going to prophesy for a while. I mean, my mother get up and take the roast and put it back in the oven because she knew it's pointless. You know what I mean? Mom. She put it back to keep it warm. Roast lamb. And you were at the table and dad's prophesying. But we knew it was the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to eat, you know. And then, as I always say, it's very hard as a teenager, well, when you're growing up, even if you just, like, you know, thinking about some stuff or whatever, and mom would come around and say, you know, what are you up to? And you go, no, nothing. And she looks at you, and she goes, oh, well, that's not what the Lord told Dad and me when we were praying this morning. You go, well, that's just great. Who needs the NSA when you have your mother? She knew everything. I mean, they know what's going on, because when you hook up with the Holy Ghost, you know what's going on. Amen. You can't talk rubbish. You can't even make up a story. Because she just stands and looks at you, and you go, she's getting intel. She's receiving inside information. She knows I'm not telling the truth here. So you, in the end, you just say, okay, I'll just tell the truth, because she's going to find out anyway. I saw the Holy Ghost on them. And I obeyed, and I saw when they just were them, and I obeyed. Either way, you obeyed. Now, they were all filled and began to speak. But the number one thing that they received, and of course, many times in Pentecostal tradition, they teach you that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues, which that's the initial evidence, I will say that. But it's twofold. It's not just tongues, but power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. So our desire for every member of this church is that you have power. Power on your own. You're a standalone power supply. You're a standalone power source. Yet you see many Christians, you know, they're weak and they're always going to go around, can you pray for me? Because they have no power within themselves to pray themselves out of anything. Well, we want to get everybody so that the power that you have, this power, amen, which is so important, that you grab a hold of this and your children grab a hold of it. They don't have to wait till they're adults to do it. Children can grab a hold of it when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Amen. And they can grab a hold of this power. This power is available for every single person. Amen. Aren't you happy about that? Yes. You can have the same power that God gives to people in the ministry. Some say, well, I know Pastor, he has access to power. No, I give you access to everything. I'm not holding this behind closed door like some kind of a secret that you have to pay, that you have to pay entrance money to get in there. It's free. You just grab a hold of it and say, I tell you, if God can anoint him, he can anoint me, and I'm grabbing a hold of this. God's no respecter of persons. I mean, God came and found me in Africa all those years ago. If he can find me as an African boy in Africa, and of course I came to America, I'm African-American now. If God can find me, I know that he doesn't love us African-Americans more than he loves you. Amen. Amen. He's just looking for people that will believe him, that will say, I believe. Yes. And you almost have to get to the place, say, if I'm the only one, if nobody else yet grabs a hold of this today, if I'm the only one, I'm grabbing a hold of this for me. As for me and my house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say this after me. Tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. So I'm going to go as far as I can here before the end of the service, and then I'm carry on tonight. And what I don't finish tonight, I'll carry on next Sunday. What I don't finish next Sunday morning, I'll carry on next Sunday night. Well, we'll finish this. Trust me. I'm a doctor. We'll get to the end. Now go to Mark chapter 16. Mark's gospel, chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Now, notice he didn't say these signs shall follow the apostles. Notice he didn't say these signs shall follow the prophets. Notice he didn't say these signs shall follow the evangelists. He didn't say these signs shall follow the pastors or the pastors and the teachers. He said these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And I'm not talking about a church in the mountains of Kentucky or Tennessee that play with snakes. That's not what that means. That's like when Paul landed on the island and they were making a fire and a serpent came out and bit him. Are you with me? And he shook it off, but it did not harm him. That's what he's talking about. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, if somebody tries to poison you, you will not be killed. You know, somebody contacted me the other day, said, you should carry somebody that is like a food taster. He did. I said, for what? They said, in case, you know, people try to poison you because, you know, you speak out and people want to get. I said, please. You think, well, first of all, who wants the job, number one? Number two, what does that say about the people that I carry with me? Well, this is my professional food taster. Who, if he falls over dead, then I know I shouldn't eat the food. That's like ridiculous. Hey, you know, somebody said, Pastor, I feel called to the ministry. What do you want to do? I feel called to come before you and taste all the food. You know? It's like stupid, you know what I mean? Look, we got to trust the Lord. I'm not living in fear. Come on. Come on. You can go to one of the fast food restaurants and die, and it's got nothing to do with anybody poisoning you. Are you with me? You don't know what you're eating. No, we're not going to live in fear. We pray over our food. We always pray, if we eat any deadly thing, it shall not harm us. Amen. Amen. That's scriptural. So poison will not harm you. The Great Commission comes with a great protection. You go in my name, you obey my word, and they won't be able to touch you. Amen. And if a snake bites you, you just shake it off. And nothing will come near you. These signs, that's a sign, you know, if they try to poison you and you're still eating. they try to poison you, and the waiters drop dead, and the servers are dropped dead, and you're still eating away. This is great. The food's great. That's a sign. I think the Lord's with them. Man, did you use poison on that food? Yeah, we tried. We used it. It was the strongest dose. He's still alive. He's eating. He thinks this is great. He had double portion. Now, this is why the devil is for speaking tongues more than anything else, because I would say that tongues is the entryway, the gateway to the supernatural. Because tongues is involving you yielding to the Spirit of God. And it's not a natural language, so your brain immediately thinks, this is crazy. Or, you know, they call it babble or whatever. Yesterday, I found an old magazine from the 90s that they featured an article about the revival that we had, and right in the letter to the readers, right up front, there was an evangelist that wrote into the magazine and was attacking me and just said, I went to two meetings, there was no, I didn't feel anything there. In actual fact, all I saw was manipulation and whatever. So I looked at his name and whatever, so I Googled him. The guy was dead 5 years later. He died at 63 years of age. Wow. I'm still here. I was supposed to be the devil. He was dead in 5 years. No, I didn't kill him. I had nothing to do with it. No, I mean, we didn't have Google 20 years ago, but you know, so I could actually Google him and had the name of his ministries. I pulled it up. He died at 63. That's too young to die. I went to two of the meetings. Yeah, well, the meeting didn't get in you. And of course, he wasn't a Pentecostal. I think he was Presbyterian, you know, which is a rough thing for a Presbyterian to come to a meeting like this. It is. It's rough. I mean, I would think if you didn't speak in tongues, you'd immediately start to speak in tongues, even if you got it just for an emergency. You know what I'm saying? First Corinthians 14 and verse 39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, just let me tell you this. So speaking in the heavenly language is not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and this is where people go wrong. You see, they were baptized and the Holy Ghost spoke with other tongues. But then there's still the nine gifts of the Spirit that's separate to that. Speaking in other tongues is your prayer language where you talk to God and you speak mysteries to God. Somebody says, yeah, but I don't understand what I'm praying. He doesn't want you to understand what you're praying, because many times if you understood it, you would be interfering with it. If you knew what the Holy Spirit was praying through you, you say, no, I don't agree with that. No, I don't want that. But the Holy Spirit's praying through you the perfect will of God. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. Somebody said, well, it just doesn't sound like anything. Yeah, to the devil, it sounds like nothing. To the devil, it sounds like babble. But God understands, and you have a hotline to heaven, and you're speaking straight to the throne of God. Amen. Amen. And it's your spirit, the Holy Spirit praying through you the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what's so amazing is traveling to 78 countries, I never heard people speak in tongues with an accent. They're all just speaking heavenly language. I never heard anybody. Like Japanese, they speak in tongues. Sounds like me speaking tongues. I don't hear Japanese. I don't hear anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been in India. I never heard India. I never saw any of that. So it's got nothing to do. It's got nothing. You don't go to Tennessee and a Tennessean is speaking in other tongues with a Tennessee twang to it. Think about that. Tongues comes from your spirit, doesn't come from your head. Right. Amen. Amen. And it's the gateway to the supernatural. You know what that means? That means that's the doorway. When you get through the door, and many times to the things of heaven, God always puts a stumbling block in front, a rock of offense in front of it, that only the humble can get through to receive it. The arrogant are turned away at the door. I'm not going to do that. These people are crazy. They babble in a language nobody even understands. And then they scratch their head. They wonder, how come he has power? How come nothing happens and comes unawares, like he's always a step ahead of the enemy? I wonder why. I wish I had that. Could you pray for me? Yeah, come, I'll pray you get hold of it. Oh, no, I don't want that. I want something that sounds intelligent. So desire earnestly to prophesy. Everybody should desire that. But prophecy means to bubble forth, to tumble forth, to spring forth. So that comes out of your belly. Take your hand, put it on your belly. So prophecy comes out of your belly, not out of your head. And tongues comes from the same place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, point number two, tongues is for supernatural communication. You know, we live in a communication age. I mean, your cell phone, how many have wondered why you don't get the cell signal that you should, even though you get 3G or 4G or 5G? Wave your hand at me. Because you can't, because they're offering something they can't even deliver. But besides that, all of television streaming is going to use the cell towers. So you're actually competing with Netflix and all of the streaming that's online streaming. So they're using the same towers they're supposed to be for your signal. They're using to stream video. And that takes up so much bandwidth. Facebook, you can imagine. That's why they limit you to so many viewers watching per moment. Before, remember when we started, there was it was unlimited viewership. Now because they have to throttle the bandwidth, because a lot of these are free services. And so if they let everybody people come and flood your bandwidth, then it's going to suck up all the bandwidth. And that's what happens. And that's why you could be in the middle of Tampa and have one bar. We're in the middle of Florida. You go to Orlando, almost nothing works there. You almost go back to Morse code, dot, 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 dash, 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 or just flashing lights in Orlando, trying to contact your wife. We're in major cities of the world, and the technology doesn't work because they're trying to get other technology on the same bandwidth. So what tongues does, it cuts out all of the other bandwidth. It cuts out all of the other people using a line trying to get to heaven or whatever and goes straight. Boof. It's like a hot line straight to heaven.
Amen.
When you pray in the Holy Ghost. And don't second guess it. Just pray in tongues. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries, speaking mysteries. Amen.
Amen.
So don't worry about. Somebody said, well, I've been doing that for a long time and I don't really understand what I'm doing. Just do what he says do. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than yours. So this is the Apostle Paul saying that. And of course, you can just train yourself to just pray in tongues. You get out of bed in the morning, you pray in the Holy, Spirit. You know, go to the shower, you pray in tongues in the shower. Pray in tongues when you drive down the road, you know. Amen. And somebody said, well, my tongue sounds funny. Yeah, it might do, but it's your tongue. It's not anybody else's tongue. Amen. Everybody say it's a hotline to heaven. Hallelujah. Number three, tongues is for supernatural praise. Supernatural praise. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. Of course, now when we pray in English, we're praying with the understanding. But when we pray in tongues, we pray with the Spirit. Can you see that? I will sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. So we know we can sing with our understanding, which we did in worship, or we can sing in the Spirit. And you need to practice that at home when nobody can hear you. Amen. To just sing with the Spirit. Just sing and in the Spirit. Hallelujah. He says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So now, obviously, he's showing how we should function in the church. If I came out here on Sunday morning, just spoke in tongues, and we sang in tongues, nobody would get anything. Which, if you think back, go back 200 years in church history, that's how a lot of the people were. They spoke in Latin and nobody understood a word of what they were saying. So even though they were using a natural language, nobody understood. Only the priest knew what was going on. So we have our native language, our native tongue, so we can understand. And then we have the heavenly language so that God can pray through us. The Holy Spirit will pray through us. and supernatural praise and giving thanks. You know, I tell the story of traveling to Papua New Guinea and got to Port Moresby, and a pastor came out of the mountains of a remote area, and he said to me, he said, you know, I pastor in a very remote village, and he said there's 800 languages in the nation of Papua New Guinea, which I did not know. I was shocked. I thought he was going to say dialects, but he said no languages. And he said, so the language of my area and my village is very unique to us. And people tell you that everywhere you travel, even when you travel the Arctic or you travel through the tribes of the Indians, how the languages changes just from areas. You go even to Ireland. You travel across the nation, Ireland, there's certain Irish people you can't even understand. There's Irish people that speak that the Irish people can't understand them because they're from another area. The same in Scotland. They speak with a different brogue. You travel across Tennessee, and from East Tennessee to West Tennessee, it's people like talking another language. You go to Oklahoma, and it's another planet. It just really is. And so he said to me, he said, I had to come today to come to talk to you just to thank you. I said, for what? He said, well, about 11 years ago, I was going to quit the ministry. And somebody gave me a two-tape series. Remember, we still had cassette tapes back in those days. And it was on the double portion. Remember that two-tape series on the double portion I used to have? And he said, I was listening, and you began to speak in other tongues. And you spoke in the language of my village. And I said, wow. He said, and when I heard that, that so encouraged me. I never quit the ministry, and I've been in the ministry the last 11 years, and I had to come just to say thanks. Well, I mean, I didn't know anything. I don't speak Papua New Guinean remote village language, you know. So when I got back, I got the tapes and listened to it and found the area where I was preaching at the River Church and just went off in tongues. And I listened, it was just my tongue. It was my normal tongue. But he said, no, you were speaking the language of my people. And I said, well, what was I saying? He said, you were just talking about how great God was and how wonderful he was and how majestic it was and how awesome he was. And you were really praising him in that language. And that so encouraged me. It lifted my spirit, and I never quit the ministry. Wow. Awesome. Hallelujah. 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 And of course, that's why the scripture says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. So that's why we've got to have the fruit of the Spirit to go along with these things that God gives to us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, pray in the Spirit, sing with the Spirit. Just sing. Sing in the Spirit. And don't worry about what other people think. Pastor, they will think I'm crazy. Look, they already do. They already do. And then you know what I tell you. I found out most people don't even think. I always throw this out, you know. Men actually have an ability not to even think. They do. A woman does not have that ability. She's always thinking. Always. So when a wife looks at the husband and says, what do you think? He says, nothing. He's not lying. He's actually being honest. He is not lying. That means he's actually genuinely not thinking one thing. At that moment, his mind is totally blank. Men have that ability, but a lady does not. She's thinking all the time, pop-ups. They like pop-ups. Man can go to a screensaver, but ladies are always popping up all the time. It's like through the night, in the day, you know. Sometimes the screen gets jammed and locked. Anyway, that's another story. We'll leave alone. But praying in the Holy Ghost, amen, allows your mind to not dwell on the problems and the circumstance and allow your mind to get quiet so your spirit man can rise up big and you can talk to the Lord and the Lord can talk to you. Amen. Amen. So supernatural power, Luke 28, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but you will tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then, of course, the scripture I quoted earlier in Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So let me take just a few minutes here and just talk a little bit about this power that comes. And again, it's not just the speaking in tongues, because I've heard people talk in tongues, but there's nothing with it. Are you with me? So in other words, once you get the language of the Spirit, you're not going to lose the language of the Spirit, even though you're not filled with the Spirit. God won't take the language away from you. So you can speak in tongues all day, but you're empty. And then you could even prophesy, but be empty. You could actually preach and be empty. Because it's a learned, it's an experience. Once you, it's not, God, you're not going to get to a place where you open your mouth to speak in tongues and suddenly it's gone from you. Somebody said, well, it left me. No, he gives gifts, but you've got to make sure that it's coming out of a supply that is filled. That's why Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be he being continually filled with the Spirit. So just because you got filled 5 years ago or 5 months ago or 5 weeks ago doesn't mean to say that you're filled today. It's like your motor car. You go fill up with petrol and you drive down the highway, you know. Look at everybody racing to fill up because of the hurricane. All the pumps, some of them were empty. The greatest gas stations on the face of the planet were empty. Why? They ran out of gas. I meet great people, and they've run out of gas. They have run out of gas. That's why our job of revival will never, ever end, because wherever I go, I find people, they run out of gas. Some of them just barely got into the church parking lot. Some of them, the battery on the thing died. I mean, when you try to turn the engine, it's and some of them just backfire and smoke comes out the back, you know. Then I have to bring the jumper cables, you know, and we got to get the engine started again, you know. I mean, that's the ministry that the Lord has given unto us, you know, which it's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. Because it's terrible when you pretend to be alive, but you're dead. It's terrible when you pretend to have power, but you have none. You sit in the parking lot with your keys, but the car can't go anywhere. And people drive by and you just wave at them and pretend to be driving. You don't even honk the horn because nothing would come out. Dead. Brother, do you need some help? Can I help you? No, I'm fine. Praise God. I'm doing great. Well, you have been sitting there for about 2 hours. Think about it. You see, a lot of people don't live out of here. They live by what comes from outside there. Are you with me? They don't live from here. They live by what comes at them. They're very open to the elements. So the circumstances come, boom, and slams them. Another one comes over here, boom, and slam. They're always reactionary, and boom, and everything's an emergency. And, oh, it's terrible. You got to hear what's happened. But they don't live out of here. They don't stir up, because whatever you need to come against what's coming against you is really on the inside of you, because he said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But you listen to everybody else. You listen to what they say. You listen to the experts, which really is nothing more than a drip under pressure. Instead of following the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost saying? The fact that you have access to God is huge. You have access to the creator of heaven and earth. You, every single one of you, have access to the creator of heaven and earth. You have access to heaven. You have access to heaven's plan, heaven's purpose. Hallelujah. Oh, kaprangish to prabaya. Randeli be supraba. Oh, yes, you have access to heaven's purpose and heaven's plan. And so that's why he even said, stir up the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands. Stir it up. What do you do when problems come your way? What do you do when circumstances come your way? What do you do when all hell breaks loose against you? What do you do when you just heard the worst report you ever want to hear? What do you do? Do you just succumb? Do you throw in the towel? Do you just give up? Huh, what are we going to do? Or do you just look to the greater one on the inside of you? Do you just stir yourself up from within? Are you listening to me? And you just, somebody said, well, you just, in some kind of a delusion. No, all of that outside is some kind of a delusion, and it's the lie of hell that's come to stop your life. But as he promised to you in days gone by, surely he promises the exact same thing today in this hour. His word doesn't change. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His word says that great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said that you are overcomers in this life. And you've been given access by the power of the blood and by the power of the name of Jesus to rise up in great boldness. You, by yourself, just as an individual, are a power supply, a power source, not only for your family, but for your children and your grandchildren and your friends and your neighborhood and the town and the village and the region where you live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. This has got nothing to do with what I think. This is what the Bible says. And we believe the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And again, the moment you begin to talk along these lines, the first thing they say, well, who do you think you are? It's always to challenge. Well, who do you think you are? And as I always tell people, I actually don't think I'm anything. You actually don't want to hear what I think I actually am. I'm nothing. But if you just, well, I'm nothing. Well, the Lord says, please go do this. Well, I'm just nothing. I mean, you know who you are. You know without him, you can do nothing. Without him, we would fail. Without him, we would be drifting like a ship without a sail. But we know without him. So stop making excuses and stop trying to impress other people by trying to act like you're humble. I tell you, we're just old sinners. Saved by grace. Yeah, we were sinners. And we got saved by grace. Now we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Stop talking about, well, I've been around ministers. I mean, the first thing, well, we're just all sinners. We just pray God would even come. It's a wonder he doesn't strike any one of us by lightning here today. Yeah, it's a wonder he does. And you look like you need to get struck by lightning, you ugly thing. You. I mean, just read the word. You read the Bible. You read the word of God. It's not our word, it's his word. It's his word that puts us over the top. So the very fact that he has given unto us a language of heaven. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. Someone said, Pastor, I feel like my battery has really gone down. I put the lights on, but they're just like very faint. You need to charge yourself up. And of course, Jude 20 tells you how to do that. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up. That's what we're going to do Friday night. Friday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to pray from 6 to 6, 12 hours in other tongues. If you want to build yourself up, don't miss Friday night. It's going to be off the chain, off the hook, off the heezy. I mean, it's going to be, listen, you could come in a spiritual midget Friday night at 6 o'clock and leave a spiritual giant. Hallelujah. Just praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God for the heavenly language. And I tell you, the Lord really spoke to me about it. He said, tell the people, don't push this aside and make light of it. Really make it to the forefront of your life and your spiritual experience in the speaking of the tongue, because the enemy is attacking this on every side and trying to say tongues is not for today. It's too late. I got it 50 years ago when I was 8 years old. Too late. Too late. Too late. So you're going to get attacked. It doesn't matter what you do. And the people that you would, you know, acquiesce to and say, okay, fine, we won't do any of that, they don't like you anyway. They're going to turn around and stab you in the back anyway. At least with tongues, you have access to heaven, and you know they're coming at you with a knife, and you can turn around and take care of business. Are you with me? They try to get you to drop the defenses so they can come in and take you out. But we'll stay hooked up with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to stay hooked up with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you don't have this marvelous baptism in the Holy Spirit, or maybe you received a disappointing baptism, then could I invite you between now and tonight, next Sunday morning, Sunday night, to receive the glorious baptism of the Holy Spirit and let God fill you to overflowing. And maybe you got filled years ago, but you leaked out over the years. You sprung a leak and blew a cylinder head gasket, and everything came out in the parking lot of the last church you went to. There's a big oil mark there where you used to park. But God will come and fix all that up again. Amen. Give you a new engine. Amen. Hallelujah. Give you oil, enough oil that you can make it through the night hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha ha. Brakapo rekeste brabando. Meneneria pasa. Raka brovondo se previeto. Membri ishta prakanani indoso. The language of heaven, the language of the Spirit, the language of the Spirit available to every believer, to every child of God, from the littlest child to the oldest saint. Everyone has access to the throne of God, praying in the Spirit, praying and speaking mysteries unto God. Hallelujah. The enemy cannot touch you. The enemy cannot exact himself upon you. The enemy cannot come near you. In actual fact, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it wreaks total havoc in his realm. He has no understanding of what you're doing and wreaks total confusion in his realm. So rise up today in great boldness. Rise up today and walk in the fullness of the Spirit and receive all that heaven has. And you shall be glad, and you shall rejoice, and you shall be happy, and your cup shall overflow with great joy. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. And we'll continue tonight. I want everybody to bow your heads, if you would, please, right across this room. I'm going to give an invitation now for those of you that have come here today or those that are watching by way of television. Maybe you tuned in today. And while you're sitting here today, you'd say, Pastor, I've never ever given my life to Jesus. I don't know Jesus, my Lord and Savior, but today I really want to accept him. Today I would like to receive him as my Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. That changes everything. Many people practice religion. We're not practicing anything. We're operating in a relationship with Almighty God. And he made that available to us through Jesus coming to the cross and dying for our sin 2,000 years ago, and by the power of his blood to wash us clean and then to give us access to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so the only way for us to even receive that is to humble ourselves before his mighty hand. And today you can do just that. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth and you went home and put your head on your pillow? And in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath and went on. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell. Because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid, the blood was shed. And just like that song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Tonight and today, the power of sin will be broken off of you. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You walked in here one way, but you leave another way. It is that instant. It is that instantaneous thing that takes place when you get born again, where you translate it from death to life, if you believe. You can't earn this, you can't buy it, you can't go make yourself better and come back to receive it. You just humble yourself and enter in and grab a hold of it. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. We get what He has planned for us and graced us with. Hallelujah. It's free. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost that first love, that fire, that peace that you once had. But today, you say, you know what? I'm going to come back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can even see, but you know it's there. It's a hidden thing of the heart. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. But today you say, you know what? I'm coming back. I'm gonna fall in love with Jesus all over again. Today, will you surrender your life to Him afresh and say, Lord, come. He will come and He will take you and your life will never be the same again. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward. Something that everyone could see, and now the enemy uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. Well, that's a lie from hell. God's not finished with anybody here. If God was finished with you, you wouldn't even be here today. The very fact that you're here today means God's not finished with you. And today He says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Will you surrender to Him? He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you today surrender to Him? He loves you so very much. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along, you were doing great, and then out of the blue, this thing come at you like a Mack truck from hell, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. And it rocked your world. And I'm going to throw something else in you tonight, today. Maybe you ended up in something you never ever thought you'd get into. Like a snare, like a sudden sin that the enemy trapped you up in. You don't even know how you got into it. But today God will bring you out. Today God will bring you out. And then lastly, if you're in this place and you love the Lord, that's not even a question. But as you're sitting around now, you do not have the assurance that you're a child of God. You don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. You want to know that you know. Without any doubt, I'm a child of God. And that means if you died right now, you're going to go straight to be with the Lord. If you fit into that category too, I want to pray with you. So if there's any one of you that fit into these categories, I want to pray right now. Quickly, put your hand up and say, pray for me. Right now, today's my day. Thank you. Under the overhang, another hand over there, another hand over there, another hand all at the back, right across the back, over this side, that side. Yes, 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 yes. On this far side over here, quickly raise it up high and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Today is my day. Today's my day of surrender. Once you raise it, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me. In this section here, if you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray, quickly put your hand up and say, include me. I've seen your hand already. Anybody else? Right back there, another hand. Anybody else? Slip it up high. Another hand over here. God bless you. Anybody else? What about this section? You didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. God bless you. Anybody else? Slip it up high. Anybody else? Anyone else? Quickly, quickly, quickly put your hand up now. Under the overhang, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Slip your hand up right now. Mm-hmm. All right. What about this section? You didn't raise your hand but want to be included. God bless you. Anybody else? Slip it up high and say, yes, Lord. Right at the back. Another hand. Anybody else? Okay. I want everybody that raised your hand to stand. We're going to pray together. Come. Stand right now. Stand. All the way to the back. All across the building. Come. If you will come from where you are, come stand around the altar. We're going to pray together. Come. Come right now. Come. 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 Come now. He calls you. 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 He's calling you now. Come. Don't leave it another day. Don't leave it another day. He calls you now. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Stick him right here, guys. Stick him right here. Come. The world behind me. Come on, there's others. Quickly come. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You know, when the Lord saved Pastor Eric and Jennifer, and they were business people, multimillionaires, and God saved them. You know, as a family, as a husband and wife, they would bring 45 people to church every Sunday. Just one couple ran a very successful company with 100 people working under them and would bring 45 people to church every Sunday. You didn't need a magnifying glass to wonder if they were saved or if they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. I know people are busy, but I'll tell you, you've got to make your daily life about the harvest. And as a church, we're moving in the thing, you know, we're not doing the in-reach outreaches like we used to do. This is all based on you bringing the lost to church. And of course, if you bring them from your neighborhood, then you know where, which home group they can come to. Amen. Somebody, yeah, but Pastor, I'm so busy. I understand that. But we should not be too busy to overlook the harvest. Amen. It's important. It's important. Throughout the week, just looking for prospects. Amen. He would fill up his car. I don't know how you filled that 45, but did you make two trips? Oh, some people drove on their own, but did you sometimes make two trips? You had a company extended van, and she had a town car. How many did you squeeze in the town car? Huh? Ooh, you broke the rules. Did you have people under the dashboard? Come on, you know, this is the only thing that's actually going to count 100 years from now, basically, is the harvest. That's it. Nothing else will count. I want you to look at me here. We're going to pray one prayer, one prayer for us all. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. And those of you watching, you could pray as I pray with them, you pray as well. Let's pray together. Just close your eyes, raise your right hand to heaven and say this together with me. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands to heaven. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day when we stand before you, let not one be missing. And raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. In Jesus' name, I break every curse. I send it back to its place of origin. Even now, I break every blockage, every hindrance, every attack of the enemy is broken off of you. From this day, every plan of the enemy over your life is canceled and every plan of heaven is enacted. And I thank you for this now. In Jesus' name. En el nombre de Jesús. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Glory to God.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.